Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Imad Audi, and I hope this message will bless your heart, challenge your mind, and draw you closer to Jesus. Okay, the title for the message this morning is, If I May But Touch Him. If I May But Touch Him. Come with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We will read a passage, and we will go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, read a couple of verses there, and then we will talk about them. In Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, we pick up a story in verse 25. And those who were present here last time when I was here, you'd remember what I said. When you get to the verse, please say amen or say something so I know that you are with me and I will carry on. So, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Amen. Thank you. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Very familiar story. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We will read a couple of verses. And then we will comment on the story. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Going back to the story that we just read about the woman with the issue of blood, you see, this woman would have grown up in a Jewish home. She had grown up happy, probably she had a happy childhood, looking forward to her adulthood when she will marry the man of her dreams, and probably, just probably, the Messiah will come from her. That's what every Hebrew woman looked for, hoped for. But we know that that was not to be. At what age, we are not told, but when she was old enough, she developed an issue of blood. An issue that lasted with her for how long? 12 years. It was a persistent issue. It was a constant issue. It was an issue that lasted for 12 years. Not for 1 month, not for 1 year, but for 12 long years. Now, in order for us to understand what this woman went through, what this woman felt, we have to look at it and to read the story with the context of the culture that she lived in, right? Not our culture, but her culture. You see, Jesus met this woman on the streets of Capernaum. Capernaum was a city that had a strong Jewish influence. Jesus actually found his first disciples, Andrew, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee in Capernaum. Jesus preached in the synagogue of Capernaum. So for you, for me, to understand what this woman went through, we have to look at her issue, we have to look at her life, her problem with a Jewish mindset. You with me? We have to look at her issue with a Jewish mindset. You see, to you and me today, having an issue of blood might be bad. But it's nowhere as bad as what that woman had back then. You see, God instructed that when a woman have an issue of blood, she is to be separated and she is to live on her own. She is to be considered unclean. The law said that a woman with an issue of blood cannot touch anyone. Whatsoever she touches becomes unclean. And if I touch her, I become unclean. If I touch what she touched, I will become unclean. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 15. And this isolation was to last as long as her issue of blood lasted. Not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for 12 long years. Not only that, but culturally speaking, at the culture of her day, when a person was sick, he was looked at, he was considered as if he was cursed by God. It was the result of his sin. The leaders looked at it as if this is an evidence that this woman, this person, is a sinner and he's rejected, he's not accepted by God. Hence, this judgment came upon him. So all these things you have to keep in mind as you're looking at the story of this woman. The Bible says that she spent all that she had. She spent all that she had going to physicians, seeking to get better, seeking a remedy, and the physicians probably giving her hope, but the Bible says that she grew worse. She spent all that she had. Her issue took away all her money. For 12 long years, she had been separated from society. Her children, if she had any, could not hug her. Her husband, if she had one, could not love her. Her parents had to move away. Her siblings had to leave her. Her friends had to forsake her. Her issue isolated her from everyone and from everything. She had an issue of blood. The Bible calls her the woman with an issue of blood. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to describe somebody I don't know, somebody that I've met for the first time and haven't seen since, I would usually use something that is prominent in his feature or something that he had or something that he had done that is prominent to describe him, right? Like the brother with the big nose, remember? He was there. Or the lady with the red dress. We use things like this, things that are prominent, things that are that feature in that person to describe them, right? Now, this woman was not described by her faith. She was not described by her character. She was described, her name in the Bible is the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible doesn't give us her name. Her issue had taken over her identity. She's the woman with the issue of blood. You mention that, everybody would know who you're talking about. Now, you might not have an issue of blood. But everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, most of us have an issue that is persistent. I'm not talking about a health issue. I'm not talking about an issue of blood. I'm talking about an issue that you have, that you are struggling with, that is persistent, that is consistent, that's been with you for a long time, that's taking over your life. An issue that you just cannot seem to be able to shake off. She was the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure some of us, maybe all of us, have this issue, and this issue had caused a separation between us and friends or us and family. Just like this woman, her issue separated her from her friends and her family. An issue could be an issue of anger, could be an issue of pride, could be an issue of doctrine, could be an issue of alcohol, could be an issue of depression, an issue of relationship, an issue of whatever. You know what I'm talking about. An issue that had separated you from loved ones, that had separated you from friends, an issue that's separating you from society, that is choking your life. She was the woman with the issue of blood. You want to fix this issue. You want to get over this issue. You want to have the victory over this issue, but you just can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, this woman went to the physicians. And you, in your life, you have tried going to physicians also. You have spoken about this issue to friends. You've spoken about this issue to pastors. You've spoken about this issue to people. And they've tried. They've given you hope. They told you, read such and such chapter in the Bible. Or memorize that verse. Or quote that promise. Or just have this kind of thoughts in your mind. Dwell on these thoughts. But nothing seems to be helping. The issue is just crowding your life. It's taking over your identity. It's crippling you. She was the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. And people now refer to you with the issue. Here comes this legalistic brother or sister. Here comes this stubborn brother. Or here comes this gossipy sister. Or whatever. This issue now is taking over your identity. People are referring to you by that issue. If that is your case, if you have an issue, whatever that issue is, issue of smoking, issue of drinking, issue of anger, issue of depression, it's an issue of something, it's an issue of sin. If you have an issue like that, look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood and pluck a leaf out of her tree. Learn a lesson out of her story today. That's my hope for you. You see, her health burdened her. Her culture shamed her. Her religion crippled her. Everything was going against her. But she was a woman of faith. If I may but touch his garment. You see, back then it was shameful for a woman to press herself between men. In the culture back then, it was shameful for a woman to come in between among a crowd of men. Let alone a woman with an issue of blood, a woman that is considered as cursed by God. That was shameful. But her culture couldn't stop her. She stepped over her culture and she reached out to touch him. Her religion, the religion she belonged to, said she is not allowed to touch anyone, let alone to touch a prophet, because she's unclean. But she reached over her religion and she reached out to touch him. She was able to touch him in a way, she was able to draw something out of him that all those around him couldn't. All those who were walking with him couldn't. Her faith allowed her to tap into something she desperately needed. What about you and me, brothers and sisters, today? What about us? Are we able to touch Jesus in the way that this woman touched him? Are we able to draw something out of him that a lot of people can't? Or are we touching him a casual, an occasional touch? Which one? You see, I just wonder if Jesus had passed on that street, in that town, 11 years earlier, if that woman would have come to him and touched him. If Jesus had passed through her town when this woman only had the issue for 1 month, would she have touched him? If she only had the issue for 6 months, for a year, would she have touched him? The Bible says she had it for 12 years, 12 long years. The 12 years during which she had this issue taught her something, taught her that humanity cannot help her. There's nothing she can do to get rid of her blood issue. She reached her end. She reached a point where humanity cannot help her. And faith is born at the point of human limitation. Faith is born at the point of human limitation. You see, when this woman first had the issue of blood, she had money. Because the Bible said she spent all what she had. She had something. She had money, and she used her money to go to physicians. She had physicians to go to. She had friends to support her. She had parents to encourage her. She had something to hold on to. And as long as she had something to hold on to, maybe she wouldn't have gone to Jesus. It took her 12 years for her money to disappear, for the physicians to give up on her, for her parents to withdraw from her, for her husband and children, if she had any, to leave her alone, for her friends to be ashamed for her. And in that condition, shamed, destitute, lonely, she realized that she had no one. She had no one but this Jesus, this gentle healer, this balm of Gilead that can heal her. And in that condition, no one, nothing was going to take her only hope from her. What are you holding onto? What's keeping you away from Jesus? I'm not talking about walking with Jesus like all the other people that were walking with him when that woman with the issue of blood touched him. I'm talking about what's keeping you away from touching Jesus in that very same touch. What are you holding on to? So often, when we are faced with trials and temptations, we think we can man it. Man it up, brothers. Man it up, sisters. I can take it. I'm determined to get over it. One failure after another. One fall after another. We agonize and we try hard and hard and hard. But not until we are flat on our backs will we look up. Not until we reach the end. Not until we try everything and exhaust all options do we turn to God and touch Him, the touch of faith. Not until then. Is it a wonder then why God allows trials and temptations to come our way? Is it a wonder? I know people who have told me Christianity doesn't work. I've tried it. It's just not working. I want to stop doing this and that, but I can't. I pray, but I can't. Nothing's happening. Christianity is not working. That's what they've told me. All along, God is standing by your side, waiting for you to touch Him, the touch of faith, while we are busy trying to get over our burdens, trying to get over our hurdles, trying to do the things that we want to do with our own strength. And all along, God is standing there waiting for you to touch Him. You're using your means. You're going to the physicians. You're referring to your friends, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your husband, your wife, to give you the courage that you need, just like that woman with the issue of blood. And God is just standing there and waiting, seeing your life crumble, and He can do nothing about it. Not until you turn around and look up to Him like this woman did. You see, it is through these crippling infirmities that we can touch Him. The Bible says that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But I have faith, you say. I've prayed, you say, and nothing happened. Yeah, so did she. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. This woman had faith. For her to crawl and to go against her culture, to go against her religion, to go against everything, this woman had faith. Question, why didn't her faith heal her by simply praying? Why did she have to touch Him? This woman had faith. Jesus said she had faith. Why didn't her faith heal her before she touched Him? I wondered about that. You see, the Bible says that this woman had heard about Jesus. She heard about Him, but she hasn't heard His still small voice yet. She knew about Him, but she didn't intimately know Him yet. She heard about His works, Probably she read the prophecies and she believed that he is the Messiah. She believed in him. But she hadn't walked with him yet. She had faith in him. But she didn't have a relationship with him yet. Faith without works is dead. Faith in God without a relationship with God is dead. Your faith in God without having a practical and a living relationship with God is as strong as the faith of this woman before she touched Jesus. She had to have a practical faith, a faith that will bring her closer to him, a faith that will make her interact with him, a faith that will make her have a relationship with him, a faith that will make her touch him. And only when her faith became a practical faith, only when she had this relationship with Jesus, was she able to receive the healing. Her knowledge about him was not sufficient. Her knowledge about his works was not sufficient. Her intellectual faith in him was not sufficient to heal her. She needed a practical faith, a faith that will bring her closer to him, that will interact with him, and that will have a relationship with him, a faith that will touch him, that touch, that special touch. What about us, brothers and sisters? What about me? What about you? You lived all your life thinking you have faith in Jesus and you know about him, and then temptation come your way and you drop it all. It doesn't work. Christianity, whoo! Oh yeah? Did you have a relationship with him? Or did you know about him? Have you touched him, a touch of faith? Or have you not? You cannot tell me that the orange I'm eating from is sweet or sour until you try it, can you? Right? Right? You can't tell me faith in Christ, a practical and a living faith in Christ, does not work until you try it. Until then, you are as ignorant as anyone else. That includes me. Until I have this practical, this living, this powerful faith in Christ that can touch him and draw something out of him, I will not understand what that means. It's a personal experience that Christ wants to have with you. Do you have faith in him? I believe in Jesus. Yeah? The devils believe too, and they tremble. What is believe? Believe is an intellectual assent to something. I believe that this team will win the soccer game tomorrow, if there is a game tomorrow. Believe is just an intellectual something. I'm not asking if you believe in Jesus. I'm asking you, do you know him? Do you know him intimately? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you have a practical faith with him? Not until then will you really know him. See, this woman did not simply faith, simply believe. She had a living faith. She had a practical faith. Her problem filled her life, but Jesus filled her mind. Her problem crippled her, but Jesus gave her strength to walk on. Her culture shamed her, but Jesus gave her courage to press on. Her religion crippled her, but Jesus gave her strength, faith, hope to stand upon. She came behind him, and I can just imagine the war, the battle that was going in her mind. The Bible says that she came behind him, and probably the thought is in her mind, you cannot come here among all these men. If I may but just touch him. You're a sinner cursed by God. You should be ashamed of yourself. If I may but just touch him. With every step, she was gaining a victory. You had issue for 12 years. You cannot expect to be healed by this man. If I may but just touch him. With every step, she's climbing a mountain. With every step, she's gaining a victory. You are unclean. The law says you cannot touch a prophet. If I may but just touch him. And she's taking a step and another step, and she's coming closer, and a war happening in her mind. Why would Jesus even heal you? He doesn't even care about you. If I may but just touch his garment. With every step she was climbing a mountain, with every step she was gaining a victory. She was walking from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. And finally, she reached behind him and she touched him. Every step she took was a step of faith. So must it be with us, brothers and sisters. Every day is a trial. Every day we face a temptation. Every day is a challenge. We must go from faith to faith, from strength to strength. We must be building up. We're not supposed to give up. The Christian walk is an upward walk. Time will come. Those who are getting baptized today, I've got a message for you. Time will come when it will seem very difficult. You just want to give up. You had enough. That's why it's called an upward walk. It's not a downward walk. It's not easy. It's up, you gotta climb, and sometimes it will get hard. But when it gets hard, just remember this woman and say to yourself, if I may but just touch him, that touch of faith. We are to walk from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. This is the Christian walk. Jesus didn't promise us a life full of roses. Tribulation ye shall have in this world, Jesus says. But he said, I have overcome the world, he said. Be of good courage. He didn't promise to deliver you out of all your temptations, but he promised to give you peace, to keep you in the day of temptation. Christian walk can get hard sometimes, but keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. And she finally came, the Bible says, close to him behind him, and she touched him. And immediately, the Bible says, straight away, the Bible says, her issue was dried up. Her issue of blood was dried up. Her fountain of blood was dried up. She felt within herself that she was made whole. You would think that if she's been in it for 12 years, it will take her 12 years to get out of it, don't you? But the Bible says immediately, straight away, she was made whole. She asked and she received. She knocked and it was opened. She sought for him, seek, and she found him. And ye shall find, Jesus says. It's a promise from Jesus to you. Jesus promised that no one that cometh to me, I will cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy burden. Come unto me, all ye that are tempted. Come unto me, all ye that are persecuted. All ye that are going through hard times. And I will, not I might, not I will think about it, not I will consult my Father about it, but I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Don't think that I will have to pray the Father for you, Jesus said. The Father loves you. Jesus doesn't even have to plead with his Father so his Father can forgive us. No, Jesus said, I don't have to pray the Father for you. The Father himself loves you. Amen? And when you go to him and when you ask, believe. Believe. Don't worry about what the world thinks of you. Don't worry about how you look outwardly. Don't worry about how you feel outwardly. This woman touched him, and the Bible says immediately, straight away, she was made whole. Her clothes were still the same old, worn and torn and blood-stained clothes. Outwardly, she still looked the same. Outwardly, the world would have looked at her and said, you're a woman, you're unclean. But deep within, she knew within herself that she was made whole. Amen. What about you? When you ask, I'm not asking you how do you feel. I'm not asking what does the world think of you. Jesus didn't say, and I will give you, ask, and I will give you a robe, and you will look different. No, no, no. He said, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He didn't say, as many as receive him, to them I will give an outward robe that they will wear, and they will walk, and everybody will see them shining. That's not what Jesus said. It's an inward thing. I will take away your stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh. It's an inward thing. She knew within herself that she was made whole. How about you? I'm not asking you how you feel. The question is, do you believe it? When you ask him, do you believe that you received it? That's the question. Do you believe him? Come with me to Luke chapter 8, and let us pick up the story there and see what else happened. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 45. Luke chapter 8, and beginning at verse 45. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 45, we pick up the story there, the same story of the woman with the issue of blood. This is how Luke records this incident now. Beginning at verse 45, Luke 8, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me. For I perceive the power, the virtue has come out from me." Now, I was wondering, why did Jesus ask who touched me? Of course, Jesus knew. You see, it wasn't only to give the woman an opportunity to witness. It was a rebuke to those who were around him. It was a gentle rebuke. They were all walking around him. They were all bumping against him. They were all touching him somehow. An occasional touch, a casual touch, but it did nothing to them. But that woman came crawling with a walk of faith behind him, not in front of him, behind him, and she touched him. It was a gentle rebuke to all those walking with him, busy thinking, who is the greatest? Lord, when you come, will you grant me and my brother to sit on each side of your throne? They were busy with the politics of it all. And they could not touch him with that touch of faith to draw from him what that woman drew from him. It was a gentle rebuke. "Somebody has touched me," he says, "for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." You see, this woman had bypassed all obstacles. She bypassed the culture. She bypassed her religion. She bypassed everything. And she went straight to him and she touched him. She didn't touch those who were walking with him. She didn't touch those who touched him. She touched him. How about you? Do you have a relationship with him? I'm not asking if you have a relationship with the pastor. I'm not asking if you have a relationship with the preacher. I'm not asking if you know a godly man. I'm asking, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Have you touched him? Or have you only touched those who touched him? The Bible goes on to say in verse 32 in Mark. Come back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 32. Mark chapter 5 and verse 32. And the Bible says, "And he," that is Jesus, "looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The first point is that she came behind him. This tells us what she thought of herself. She thought that she's not even worthy to be noticed. She's not worthy to face him face to face. If I just may but touch his garment. That's what she thought of herself. But that touch that she touched him gave her strength, gave her confidence. Because without this touch, it was because of this touch, because of what she received, that she was able to come before him and face him face to face. When he said, "Who touched me?" She came face to face. She was able to stand before him because she had received something from him. The Bible says she felt in her body. She knew what was done in her. And because she knew that there was something done internally in her, she was able to come and face him face to face. She was able to stand before him. And who shall be able to stand in the last days? Who? Only those who have touched him, this touch of faith. Only those who have received something from him. Only those who know that there's something done within themselves. There's a change on the inside. They have received this new heart. Amen. And because of that, they will be able to stand in the last days before him and face him face to face. And he called her daughter. You see, this woman, she had received this power to become the daughter and the son of God. Jesus called her daughter. Thy faith has made thee whole. So have you touched him? This touch of faith. The verse we read in Hebrews says that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Your infirmities touch him. Your weaknesses touch him. Your trials and your temptations touch him. If you are going through trials, if you are going through some hard time, through some infirmities that you just cannot bear anymore, you just cannot handle anymore, you're about to give up, you are ripe for God. He is very close to you because your infirmities touch him. If you're about to give up, you are ripe for God. He is right there next to you to touch him. He is touched with your infirmities. The question is, are you going to touch him like that woman with the issue of blood touched him, a touch of faith? Or are you going to touch him like the occasional touch and the casual touch that all those around him touch him? Which one is it? The Bible tells us, and because he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the very next verse says, therefore, because he is touched with your infirmities, let us come boldly before the throne to receive grace and mercy. Because of your infirmities, because of your weaknesses, you have touched him. You have come to a place where you can touch him, a touch of faith. And Christ and God are inviting you to come boldly before the throne, just like the woman with the issue of blood came boldly and received. Whenever you hit rock bottom, remember that you are ripe for God. If you have a problem that you cannot pay money to fix, you cannot say a word to fix. You can do nothing about it to fix. It had reached a human limitation. There's nothing humanly possible you can do to fix. You are ripe for God because your infirmities have touched him. Just remember the woman with the issue of blood. If I may but just touch the hem of his garment, touch him. The touch of faith that this woman touched simply represents the relationship you can have with Christ. Her faith did not help her until she had a relationship with him. You might believe on him. You might think you have faith in him. But until you come to him, until you come close to him, until you interact with him, until you touch him and have a relationship with him, your faith will be powerless. Not because faith is powerless, but because faith without a relationship with Christ is powerless. Because the devils believe and tremble. So I invite you this morning, I appeal to you, I challenge you this morning. Have you come to that place like Paul, where you can say that nothing, who shall separate us from the love of God? Paul had reached this level of his relationship, this level with a relationship with God. His love for God was so much that he said, who shall be able to separate us? Who shall be able to separate me from the love of God? Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We are like sheep every day gone to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors in Christ Jesus. Paul had reached this level of faith where he can say, Paul had reached his relationship, rather, if I may change that. He had reached his relationship with Christ where his love for Christ was not going to be affected by anything. How's your relationship with him? How's your love to him? Is there an occasional visit that you visit him once a week? Once a month, maybe? Or is it a touch of faith? Is it a relationship? I'd like to leave these thoughts with you. And as I close, this touch of faith, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, when Jesus comes, shall he find people who have a relationship with him? Will you be one of those who will stand in the last days? Or will you not? Only you can ask this question. I pray with all my heart that if there is anything you can get out of this message, it is this. That Christ is desiring to have a relationship with you. Christ is desiring for you to touch him, a touch of faith. He's tired of people touching him, a casual touch, and then complaining and saying, Christianity doesn't work, look at me. Touch him, a touch of, have a constant relationship with him, regardless what happens in your life, regardless where you are, regardless how hard your tribulations and your infirmities are, you can touch him. He is right there beside you. Amen? Let us close with a prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I know that I am but a fallen man. And I can only speak human words that might fall on ears, that listen might fall on deaf ears. But I know, dear Lord, that when you speak, the whole world listens. I pray, dear Lord, that you will speak into each and every heart that is present here today. May they hear your voice, not a voice of a man, but the voice of a God who gave his Son to save a fallen human race. May they hear your voice, dear Lord. May each and everyone who's present in here, whether they have given their life to you, whether they have given it and taken it back, or whether they have not given it yet, may you speak to their hearts in a way they will understand. And know, may they know that you love them so dearly and you want them to have a relationship with you. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with others and do not forget to subscribe. God bless you.